Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, good afternoon. This is Lock and Load. And as we do, as I like to do anyway, as I like to proceed and do things, today, well, we get to do this. Of course, this being Think Name Fire with investigative reporter Lee Williams and the only tactical instructor at Gamut Resolutions, Bob Keller. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, how are you?
So I know that we have you probably amassed a 3 hours worth of questions. So I'll let you take it from here and with what you want to go as well.
That was very intuitive because I got a lot of questions from our folks on the Houston shooting. And I think, both pro and con, I think we should dispel some myths about gunfighting. Things like fair play and sportsmanship and the Marquis or Marquess of Queensbury rules. I think everybody's probably seen that video, that shooting in that Houston restaurant. Suspect comes in, robs every patron in there, points guns at him, and then as he walks by one couple, the armed civilian shoots him, drops him, shoots him several times. Oh my God, he shot him in the back, and then he makes sure that he's no longer a threat. I think that was shocking to some, but there's no way to know what that guy's gonna do. Is he going to turn around right before he leaves the restaurant and leave no witnesses? You know, shoot everybody in there? The armed civilian shot him several times, maybe a couple times when he was down. In his mind, maybe the guy was still a threat. So I don't think there's fair play in sportsmanship when it comes to saving your life. What do you think, Bob?
No, I haven't even – when did this happen? I haven't even seen it. I don't watch TV anymore, so I'm switched off.
Good for you.
So what?
That just happened about a week ago.
Oh, okay.
It's a small restaurant.
Are they trying to hammer this guy?
Well, they're saying, "Oh my God, he shot him in the back."
Well, he's going before a grand jury, but that will be just the police are not charging him.
Right.
Okay. Good. Yeah, you don't come into anywhere where I'm at and point a gun and think something bad's not going to happen to you.
Well,
that's how it should be.
One little caveat to this stupid little drama is dude tried to rob the place with a fake gun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you that stupid? But and it goes to they. I think most criminals now just don't think anything's going to happen to them because of the lack of all the rules that we have to abide by and how weak of a society we are. People think they can do whatever they want and come in like that. I mean, I don't care what it is, toy gun or a real gun. You don't point a gun around and not think something bad's going to happen.
That actually brings up an interesting question, Bob. Is it possible that if the media actually illustrated all the defensive gun uses in the United States, do you think crime would go down and we wouldn't have these guys playing play stupid games, win stupid prizes?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think the thing that this thing demonstrates is that defending your life, it's not a duel, okay? You're not going to, and that's from the media, you know? It's not one guy gets up and stands there toe-to-toe against another guy, and they, you know, whoever's quickest on the draw wins. There's no duel here. This is saving your life. And the second the bad guy walked past this table, our armed civilian acted, and he jumped up and he shot him like six or seven times, mostly in the back, and the guy fell forward, and he made sure he was down. I don't have a problem with that. This is not a duel. And the guy was there with his wife or with his girlfriend. He made sure that the gun wasn't pointing at them, and then he acted, because you can never tell what these people are going to do. Because the bad guy could have turned around.
Hearing stuff like that, especially if they're actually talking bad about this guy, it's like, that's exactly right. If the guy would have turned around and blazed everyone down, then everyone would have been saying, well, why didn't someone shoot him?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win with the left side people and people that don't like guns. If it was their family in harm, or if it was their family, like three of their family members got shot, they would be wishing someone would have done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, since no one got hurt and the guy shot him in the back, it's like, well, why did you have to shoot him six times? It happens all the time. It's stupid. If more people did that and the media had our backs and the law enforcement leadership had our backs, a lot of criminals would think twice about going into a store or restaurant doing crap like that.
I've always thought,
I think the one thing, another thing this emphasizes is how quick a civilian shooting can be. I mean, seconds.
Oh, yeah.
You got seconds to react.
Yep.
I mean, you've been in gunfights that have lasted, what, minutes or hours?
Both.
Yeah.
They're not all like the movies. You know, some are drawn out, but some do finish real quick.
And that's what this one did.
It's a tough one. I mean, I hope this guy, nothing happens to this guy, because that is the problem with the courts, the media, the laws, is if guys like that get hammered, get arrested, go to jail, well, then all the good citizens that could have saved lives are going to question helping out the next time. You know, they're going to say, well, if I shoot this guy, I might be the one going to prison, and then they don't do anything, and then you have a mass shooting, and, you know, 15 people are dead when one guy could help, but he's scared to help him. It goes the same thing with law enforcement. I mean, law enforcement, they hesitate to react to things because they know if they do the wrong thing or the right thing, they might be going to prison. And it's wrong.
Yeah, at the very minimum, they know that they're going to get pulled through a keyhole.
Right.
Trust me on that.
Yeah.
Well,
saving lives, shouldn't be questioning yourself.
The only real caveat to this was that this dude obviously had been to a class where you shoot to deanimate, because he shot the guy until they quit moving. And then he gathered up the money that had been stolen from the patrons of the taco restaurant and gave that back. And then all of them, including the shooter, left before the cops got there. Although he has turned himself in. So he will be going through before a grand jury in Texas. It just remains to be seen what that DA does, because it happened in Texas. That's the biggest thing I don't understand here, is why would a robber go in with a big gun in Texas?
It was Houston, and Houston is one of the more liberal cities in Texas. That's what concerns me about the grand jury.
I don't know.
It's Texas, but it's still Houston. And, you know, a grand jury, the old saw about a grand jury is that a prosecutor can indict a potato if he wants to.
Mm.
It's the prosecutor's show. There's no defense attorney in there. So, I mean, my heart goes out to this guy. What do you think of him tactically, Bob? Letting the threat go past him, making sure the pistol was not pointed at him or his girlfriend?
Bob, hold up on that answer, because we're coming up on the first break. Lee is the investigative reporter at the Second Amendment Foundation. He is the only reporter at Armed American News, and he is the gun writer at substack.gunwriter.com. And Bob is the only tactical instructor at Gamut Resolutions. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm. Builder.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and this is also the latest episode of Think, Aim, Fire with Lee Williams and Bob Keller. And when we last left off, Lee was asking about the tactical equation that this defender put together in the taco restaurant in Houston, where he let the shooter come by one time and then turn around and head away from him before he decided to bring his real gun into the fight. And this is where Mr. Keller was going to be answering that question. You Are you going to maybe take a minute, if you could, Lee, and just describe how this video plays out so Bob knows what you're talking about, though, huh?
The bad guy was all over the restaurant. I mean, he was running around screaming, pointing his gun at everybody, taking money from everybody, robbing every patron. And then he walks past our armed civilian and his girlfriend, and that's when the shooter reacted.
Yeah, so I mean, there goes, we said it last episode. You can put everything on situation dependent. And like when it comes to tactics, especially civilians and really anyone, you can what if any situation, and you can what if situations all day long. You know, what if he waited until he was going to go past him and the guy ended up shooting people, well, then he should have shot earlier. If he shot immediately and missed and shot a civilian, well, then he should have waited until the guy was leaving. You can what if it all day long. I think it would come down to, like, for me personally, if that was the case, and this is another thing too, the better you get at gunfighting, the more gunfights you get in, you can start reading the situation better. Like, and especially in that case with one guy, I mean, you can kind of tell, is he going to pull the trigger? You know, how serious is it at that one moment? I mean, me personally, if the guy's holding a gun, I'm not going to wait. And I'm pretty sure I can hit what I'm looking at still. So, I probably would have dropped him a lot sooner. But if you're doubting yourself and you don't want to hurt civilians and you want to make sure that doesn't happen and there's no crossfire, then there's nothing wrong with waiting either. You know, I mean, again, you can what if it all day long.
Yeah, he was sure of his shot and he took it when he needed to. We don't know what kind of handgun he even had. I mean, he could have had a Staccato or he could have had a little revolver or whatever.
Right. That could have been going through his head, like, I'm going to wait until he gets close enough to where I know I can't miss. And if that's the case, I love that. I love that answer. You know, I mean, and I say that in all my classes. You know, you have to know your sweet spot on the spot, such as a pistol. That distance that you know for a fact, there is no way you're going to miss in a situation like that. Because that is 100% a hostage rescue situation. That is a no-fail shot. You can't miss in that situation. So if you don't feel comfortable at 5 yards, but you do at 3 yards, you wait until he gets close enough, and then you do it.
Yeah. I like the fact he used the element of surprise, too. I mean, this guy had no idea those rounds were heading his way. Boom. That's a huge deal. He surprised him with bullets. And he didn't scream any BS warning, drop the gun, or anything like that. He just acted because he had friendlies in that restaurant.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. We got great questions. I'm thinking about buying a ballistic helmet. Why? Because I want one. Unfortunately, the ones I'm seeing on the market differ vastly from my old steel pot. Any advice? And it's signed Confused in Gainesville. Bob, well, you know all about these helmets.
No, I don't. I'm the worst at gear. I don't even know really what's out there now. I mean, I would have been able to answer that a little bit better 4 years ago, 6 years ago. But I'm sure there's so many different companies out there making ballistic helmets. And I don't, you know, that's not something that I sponsor or am too concerned with. So I don't have any really good companies. I would say if you've been sent stuff to test, like, you'd actually have a good answer for that.
I've never got a helmet.
You follow the gear side a little bit more than I do.
I've never got a helmet. I've been asked to test one, and I'm not going to test something that I'm not going to use. So I've never shot up a helmet. Shot up a lot of body armor, but never.
Bill, you got any insight on that?
The only insight I have on it is that I've talked to one trainer before, John Farnham. Now, John's an older man. He's been in a bunch of gunfights. He's got 5 rounds in him still from the gunfights he's been in. And John's advice to anybody about what they're setting up to run with is if you don't train with it, don't have it in your kit.
Yeah.
Because I'll ask him about plates, and he'll be like, well, Bill, when you were in the military, did you have plates? I'll be like, no, John, I did not. He's like, do you run around with them on now? I said, no, John, I do not. He'd be like, I don't guess I'd throw those in my kit then, Bill.
On the other hand, I'm a firm believer in, you know, if you want it and you can afford it, and get it as long as you're going to train with it. I don't. You ever seen anybody at your classes wearing a helmet, Bob?
Nah, just the SWAT guys. I think I think I've had a couple civilians that have them. You know, I mean, most people buy them because they have night vision. They have a platform for that, and they'll run it for a couple hours in the class just to get used to it, which I'm 100% down with. And then like cops, SWAT guys that. You know, most of their hits are with full kit and helmet on. They'll run helmets for the whole class. So, which I agree with that too.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
Well, is a bump helmet a good idea? Like if you're indoors and you're moving around and you might bang your head as you're indoors. I mean,
that does happen. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to have any protection, you know, for rounds, but a bump helmet, nothing wrong with that.
I got one on right now. Anyway, any tips Bob can offer about low light, white light shooting would be very appreciated. I would like to know how he manipulates his light, and it's anonymous.
That's again, just going to the range and figuring out. I mean, when it comes to white light, unless if you have a non-mounted gun light, then you better get good at one-hand shooting. I would never suggest that. Have it mounted to your gun, and then it's just whatever light you have and whatever trigger you have on that light. Get familiar with how you're working that. And it's really, you know, when it comes to the shooting part, nothing changes. It's just working that light, getting it on, making a shot, then getting it off. There's no perfect way to do it. It's just whatever setup you have to go to the range and do low light, no light shooting with it, just to get used to working that the trigger on the light.
Yeah, I agree. From someone who has used the hell out of white light, mounted and unmounted. You don't want to, the first time you operate your white light should not be when there's a bad guy in your house.
Okay, hold that right there because we're coming up on the next break. Because I just did a review of a flashlight. I'm very interested in this conversation, but Lee Williams, you can find Lee Williams online. He writes all over the place, and he does audio here at least, and he probably does some audio other places as well. And Bob Keller, well, he's one of the product developers at Staccato, which makes him aces in my book, and the only instructor I know at Gamut Resolutions. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to chamberscustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Attorney General Merrick Garland is appointing a special counsel to oversee the investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents following his tenure as vice president.
I signed an order appointing Robert Hur a special counsel.
Robert Hur is taking on the role after serving as U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland during the Trump administration. Folks across the country are still feeling sticker shock when it comes to the price of eggs. Economists say the high prices could hang on for months, which doesn't sit well with shoppers.
I feel like everything is expensive. Eggs are still $5 when they used to be like $1.99.
Food prices have been impacted by severe weather, labor shortages, and Russia's ongoing war with Ukraine. Lisa Marie Presley in the hospital after suffering cardiac arrest. TMZ reporting paramedics were performing CPR on her way to the hospital. Her conditions unknown. Dave Collins, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and this is the latest episode of Think, Aim, Fire. We were just talking white light. Should it be mounted to the gun? Should it be in your hand? There's some people that say it shouldn't be in your on your gun because then you're putting your muzzle towards them. There's some people that say that if you have it in your hand, like the very good point that Bob Keller just made, if you have a separate light, then you got to be really good at shooting one-handed. So. And I interrupted Lee because he was talking about white light, and wind is not the first time you introduce it. So please, if you would, please, sir, please pick that up.
Yeah, I would. I totally agree with Bob. You gotta go out to a range, like range work that'll allow you to shoot at low light, and you gotta learn how to manipulate that. There's a secret, not really secrets to it, but you don't want to be bumping that. One of the things I learned from Bob was a light AD. You don't want to be having a accidental discharge with your light. So you want to learn how to turn it on, you know, and the briefer, the better.
Yep. Yeah. That's all it really is. But
yeah, there's no huge secret, but you got to learn how to
manipulate. Is there actually an argument still about mounted, non-mounted?
Every time I write about it, I get these guys write in and comment saying, well, if you got a light mounted to your gun, it's going to give away your position on the battlefield. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, yeah, the Soviet motorized infantry unit that's out looking for you will see you. I haven't been on a battlefield like you have. I'm more concerned about, you know, safety in my apartment. So I want one mounted to the light because I've shot a lot with lights that are not mounted. It's difficult. I rest my shooting hand on my left wrist.
Yeah, but how is that not giving away your position too?
Exactly.
Light's the light.
Yeah, I mean there's no rationale for not mounting it to the gun other than if you can't afford it. Okay, what would you tell police after shooting if you shoot to defend yourself? We're not attorneys. You should talk to an attorney about that. Some gun groups will have cards that you put in your wallet. But basically, I would say I was in fear for my life, so I defended myself, and that's pretty much it. You want to give the minimum information you can give so you don't have to go to jail while things get worked out. But you don't want to be super chatty Cathy on that either. Is there a way to prepare? Oh, this is good. Is there a way to prepare for these random attacks we're seeing committed by homeless and emotionally disturbed people? Situational awareness?
Yeah, well, I mean, how is that any different than being prepared for anyone out there doing harm?
I agree. I think a threat's a threat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's only going to, you know, the situational awareness that we three speak about is that's like muscle memory with us now, but with some of these people, geographically, they really need to be situationally aware. But in most of these places where they have this happening, if I'm not mistaken, it's very tough to be able to carry a gun.
Yeah. Great point. I mean, keep in mind, they're using deadly force. If someone's pushing somebody off a platform in front of a subway train or blindsiding them with a pipe, that's deadly force time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. But it comes down to knowing where you're at in the situation, who's around you, does he look sketchy? If he does, you know, move away. Getting closer, move away. But so many people live with blinders on. Like they're not used to looking for people that are going to possibly do them harm.
They're in their damn phone too.
Well, that doesn't help either. Nope.
Okay, we got three comments from guys who say they love their 40s, their 40 cals, and we don't know what we're talking about. We kind of didn't really have a lot of love for the 40s in the last episode. What fallout will there be from the Fifth Circuit's bump stock decision? Andy B wants to know. That's very simple. They found that the ATF cannot make law. And you're going to see a lot of these rules that ATF likes to put out there. That stuff will stop.
Now Gottlieb will push that to the Supreme Court too, because now you have dueling circuit courts that have ruled on this in various places.
And I've been waiting for this one. This is for Bob. How did training change at your former employer from pre-9/11 to post-9/11? And that was sent in by another guy who says he's taking your classes and loved your answer.
Didn't really change at all. Didn't ground combat start to change in the various stages once you guys got over there and started waging the war on terror? Do we still have Bob?
I think we lost him.
Oh, Bob, how can you? Okay, we'll get him back in the next segment. We'll finish this one up. We got about 3 minutes left of this. So let's answer the questions you and I can answer that are not addressed to Bob as far as like caliber.
Okay, the fifth, like Bill was saying, the Fifth Circuit bump stock decision basically says the ATF violated the separation of powers. We have the legislative that makes the laws and the ones that enforce, the administration that enforces the law. ATF is part of the administration. They're charged with enforcing the law. They cannot make the law. I love this decision. I think this is going to go national soon. Like you said, Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation are going to be pushing the hell out of this. It's a great ruling for gun owners, because the ATF has the thing that's holding right there is their pistol brace decision, where they could conceivably turn millions of law-abiding gun owners into felons overnight if they say that everybody has to register their pistols with braces as SBRs.
Right.
And if you don't, you're possessing an NFA firearm. So yeah, this is good law.
Well, I mean, recently, and it was sometime last year, but Supreme Court held that the EPA could not regulate certain energy segments out of business.
Right. And right, which they love to do.
Right. Bob's trying to call back in now. We'll get to him in just a second. So, but all of these things are, this little confluence of rulings and court pushbacks. Measure 114 is getting slapped around. CCIA in New York is getting slapped around. Maryland's getting slapped around. New Jersey's getting slapped around. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
And the ATF.
Yeah, all these little tin pot.
Yeah. The ATF's about to
all
have
all these little
tin pot
dictators.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Kathy Hochul is, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm waiting to see what California comes up with next, though, because California, they always heart them some stuff. As far as the caliber wars are concerned, 40 caliber. I'm not an instructor. I simply believe this. If this is a caliber you can shoot, it's a gun that you train with and you do it on a regular basis. More power. Just carry a gun every chance you get as often as you can and be prepared. I don't care what caliber you defend yourself with.
No, I completely agree. I don't either.
Yeah, but now it's not for me.
You're comfortable shoot.
I'd rather shoot a full bore 10 millimeter than a 40 caliber, just any old day. But we're coming up on the next break. And while we're gone, we will get Mr. Keller back. We're going to have to buy Mr. Keller like a satellite phone or something for these things. I don't know. We'll get Mr. Keller back. Bob Keller is the chief instructor, only instructor at Gamut Resolutions. Lee Williams is the investigative reporter for the Second Amendment Foundation. He's the sole reporter at Armed American News. And he is also the gun writer at substack.gunwriter.com. This is Think, Aim, Fire, a short form podcast for these guys because they used to do it, and they don't have the time to do it themselves, so we do it here. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We do have Mr. Keller back. He was in the best place he can be to get. He had all the reception, and the call dropped anyway.
My bad.
Such is the marvel.
It now, me. I'm still saying it wasn't me. I don't know. Maybe I needed it first.
I lay this fully at the feet of. I fully understand now why we're not like the Jetsons and flying cars and everything, because we can't even make mobile phones work flawlessly yet.
I agree.
Amen.
It's ridiculous.
Amen.
So,
good question, Bob. How did training change at your former unit from pre-11 to post-9/11?
I don't think, like, the shooting stuff, I don't think really changed that much. I mean, I wasn't there pre-9/11, but I think the biggest thing would have just been better ways to train and better ways to work on, like, good muscle memory.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, before the wars kicked off, you do what you're doing. You don't think anything of it. You think you're going to be able to rise to the occasion no matter what you're doing, and you kind of train the wrong way on things, and you do it over and over so many reps because we do shoot a lot of rounds. And on certain things, if you do that enough times, that's going to follow you on to gunfights, and that stuff actually started happening. So that, it wasn't on, like, the shooting techniques as much, or even the CQB techniques as much. It was just tweaking things a little bit to where it was, like, a good example of just keeping the gun up for the reacquire after you get done shooting. Like, if you're used to taking the shot and immediately coming off target, you know, to reset for the next shot because you're training, you do that tens of thousands of times, good chance in a gunfight, you're going to take one or two rounds and then drop the gun because the muscle memory takes over a lot of times. So, like, little stuff like that, mixing up the round counts instead of just always doing controlled threes, always mix up the round count anytime you're shooting. It was stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't think, like, on the shooting side, CQB stuff, not much changed. Maybe a little bit on vehicle tactics and approaching vehicles. That might have been some tweaks there. I don't think we hadn't done many, like, vehicle interdictions from helicopters, so stuff had to change there. But I don't, it wasn't too drastic. It was just a lot of muscle memory stuff.
Was there stuff they were training that was later determined to be just a waste of time?
That's a good one. Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. So, how about round counts? Did you shoot more? Did post 9/11? done before? That, no. I highly doubt it.
But you guys shoot the hell out of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, pre-9/11, like I said, I wasn't there, but they were, there's no way they ended up shooting. Yeah, it's going to be up to each individual, too. You know, it's not like we force every individual to go out and shoot a certain round count. It's on you. So guys there always want to be the best. It doesn't matter if it was pre-9/11 or post-9/11. So on the round count, I would highly doubt it was more after 9/11.
Okay. Interesting. Well, you mentioned last episode that gunfighting is a chess game, and Gary writes in that he would like some examples of that. How gunfighting is like a chess game. Real world examples. I'm sure you have one or two.
Well, it could be any game, I guess. Anytime you're making decisions, right? And then gunfighting is just making decisions that are going to save your life or get you killed. But they're split second decisions. So it's just maneuvering. Where are you going to, what door are you going to go to? What window are you going to go to? Where are you sending one team or half of your team? Where are you sending the other half of the team? It's getting good at, I mean, I wouldn't even say good at gunfighting. It's good at being tactically, knowing your surroundings and where you're going to approach from, where you're going to go after a shooting, what target you're going to hit next. That's what I'm talking about, like on the chess match. I mean, I could say checkers. I mean, it's just making good decisions fast. But, you know, I mean, like even like in any game, chess, checkers, you can make the wrong decision, right? And that does happen. And then from there, you just got to adjust.
Right, right. But I like your the example you gave last session on distance, you know, distance that you would engage with a handgun versus, you know, clearing a malfunction with your carbine. I think that to me stands out. You know, you've already got this decided in your head. There's a line. If the target's beyond that line, you're going to get the carbine back up. If he's close, you're going to transition to handgun. I think that's the kind of examples that they want. And man, that kind of advice and training, that changed my life. I mean, I had, you know, I was always, well, you just got to get that carbine working again, or you just got to transition right to the handgun because the carbine's not working. But, you know, I'm not going to take a 25, 30-yard shot with a pistol.
Yeah, exactly. Let where you feel comfortable making accurate pistol shots make that decision. But I think just a lot of people don't think operationally. They don't think real world, like this is happening. So when they're on the range, if they have primary and secondary, anything happens to their primary, they want to go to their secondary because they have one, right? Just because you have a pistol on you doesn't mean you have to go to it.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's hugely important because I'm so inaccurate with my pistol compared to my carbine.
Yeah, everyone is.
Well, in the 80s, we didn't even have a secondary, except when I became an M60 gunner, I had a secondary. But
right. Yep, that's how it was in range every time I was there.
And with the M60, you know, if you got an M60 and a 45 ACP, and you're like, which one do I want to shoot at the bad guys with? Let me think. You know.
Yeah. Things got to be going pretty bad if you're going to your sidearm at that point.
I don't know. They'd be.
Yeah, I don't think we point that out enough, you know, that it's not the first choice here. The first choice is to keep that carbine up.
If you have one, yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's so much better than a handgun.
But not many people, I mean, concealed people or regular cops that aren't SWAT or don't have rifles in their car, you know, that's all they got is pistol. So.
Right. Well, it's interesting to me that these types of decisions that, you know, I have to think about that you're just making automatically. That's the difference, man. And that's a huge difference.
Yep. The more you do it, the easier it becomes to think while you're getting shot at. That, I think that's the hard part for people who have never been in a gunfight. It gets hectic. And if you can't stay calm, you're not going to be thinking straight. And you get the blinders on where all you can see is like, you know, well, you're looking through a straw, basically.
Well, I mean, the whole military thing when they're training people is all based on repetition and getting people thinking steps and everything else. You know, stand up, hook up, shuffle to the door. Nobody thinks about oh, when I get to the door, I'm jumping out of a perfectly good functioning airplane. They're just thinking about ground week. What? Okay, this is what I did to get to this point. Boom. Then they're out the door.
You should be thinking a lot more than just that.
Yeah, I think that's why your training is so important, because if you do it and if you practice and if you're dry firing, you're not thinking about manipulating your weapon. You're able to look beyond the end of your barrel.
Yep. That's right.
So dry fire, train. And I guess that brings us back to them damn dots of yours.
They work.
No, they do. They do. It's still the best training I've had. Even though I'm not going to do it with a 40.
Bob, are you going to SHOT Show?
I am not. I got to get ready for my Gamut Challenge down here.
Okay.
That range work.
So that means we'll be able to do Think Aim Fire next week.
Yeah, I'm not going either. I've been there enough, and I don't need to come home and be down for a week with the SHOT Show crud.
Well, yeah.
Right now, my understanding is if you actually go outside in Las Vegas right now, you're probably going to be approached by the sidewalk meth dealers. And where I live, I can just, I can go down to the bad parts of town if I want to get some of that, if I want to go that route. So that's, I don't need to go to Vegas for that. Guys, thank you very much for taking the time to join me today. Think Aim Fire with Lee Williams, investigative reporter Bob Keller, Gamut Resolutions. We'll be back here next week doing a live portion of that as we do. Thank you for joining me today, guys.
Right on, guys. Thanks.
Hour number two is inbound. That's just going to be me ranting and raving, but, that's part and parcel of the fun, isn't it? We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
No such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At Z&H Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, Z&H Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. Z&H Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.